Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
All right. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Mr. Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. First and foremost, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for even allowing me another week to be with you guys and for blessing me with all this talent. Anyway, thank you so much for joining me, everybody. It's 7 p.m. You know what time it is. It's Thursday. It's July 26th, I believe it is, and it's time for yours truly. It's the Ron Kelly Show. So thank you so much, everybody. So we had to be, you know, every time there's a big lotto pot, right? Every time there's a big lotto pot, we all conjure, you know, we live in a fantasy world for a couple days until somebody wins, especially when nobody wins. Nobody wins. Oh, like we got another shot at it, right? So every time there's a big lotto pot, shout out to Bunny McKnight. So every time there's a big lotto pot, you know, we all have our dreams of visions of grandeur, visions of what we would do with the money. If we would ever win, we live into that dream until somebody else wins, like what happened Tuesday, and our bubble was burst. You can hear millions of bubbles being burst all around America because we all found out that next day that some person from California, San Jose, do you know the way to San Jose? Yeah, I do now, had won the $522 million jackpot, which translates into about $300 million in cash. Shout out to Patrick DeMesa from WPSC. We don't call it that anymore. I think they call it WP88.7 FM. Anyway, shout out to Patrick DeMesa. I forget the name of the show. It's a Melting Pot, I think it is. The Melting Pot. I could be wrong. Okay, anyway, so our bubbles were burst when we found out that somebody had won that $522 million pot. You know, we all think of what we're going to do with the money. You know, I did, I'm sure millions of other people. You know, because every year, every time it happens, the news cameras, the TV cameras, they go around and they ask people, what would they do with the money? What would you do with the money? What would you do with the money? And we all, you know, and I'm sure there's some of us who dream about rubbing it in other people's faces. You know, maybe somebody kicked dirt on you in high school, you're going to get them back. Now I'm a multimillionaire, so when they come begging, I'm going to have them carried away by my security detail. Or, you know, and we think about who's going to get and who's not going to get. You know, and I've thought about that too, like who's going to get money and who's not going to get money. And you know what? Definitely family's going to get money. That goes without saying. But for friends and stuff like that, I tell you what, if you're a friend of mine and we only text each other, I'll text you the money. Anyway, it's a couple minutes past the hour. You know what time it is. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com and ronkellyshow.com. And yeah, you know how it goes. You know what? But everybody has the same chance with the lotto. We all have the same chance. All the chances suck. But somebody manages to get it. And I wonder if it's predetermined, if it's in your DNA, you know, whether you're going to win or not. I kind of wonder about that because it is kind of spectacular for one person out of 300 and something million. And not just, you know, in different people, you know, some people spend $100, $200, $1,000 on lottery tickets. So it's not just that. I mean, the chances are astronomical that you're ever going to win. But somebody does. And hey, next time it could be you or me. Anyway, it's about 5 minutes past the hour. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. Packed show we got this afternoon. I don't know if I'm going to get all of this in. Absolutely packed. Feeling good. Thank you, everybody, on Facebook who messaged me, you know, gave me a little support earlier this week. I want to thank everybody who should have been more of you, by the way. But thank those who did hit me up with a message of hope. Not that I, there was a whole lot going on. Just some, just life itself kind of gets a little, you know, life gets, you know, it just kind of wears you down sometimes. So thank you to all the people on Facebook who hit me up with the message of hope. It made me feel a lot better. And, you know, and it's not that anything very serious was going on. It was just sometimes just life and having to, you know. We're not in Kansas anymore. Remember when you were a little kid and everything was taken care of? You didn't have to worry about nothing. Sometimes I want to go back to those days. Anyway, it's the Ron Kelly Show, and we got a lot to talk about. Stand your ground. Once again, stand your ground. A young man was killed, Marquise McLaughlin, just the other day was killed by a white man. And I'm not making a point of talking about the person's race. But I am going to make a point of talking about Japan. Shout out to Ruby Clark. Shout out to her. Everybody else who's coming on here. I can't see everybody, but some names I can see, some I can't. But anyway, so we have the stand your ground issue. Now, we have the stand your ground young man, Marquise McLaughlin Jr., was killed by a white gentleman in a parking lot of an establishment just a couple days ago. And thank you so much, my brother, DJ Tiny. I'll talk about him a little bit later on in the break. Thank you, brother. And so we have the killing, the Stand Your Ground killing, another one. Now, we all know about the first one. You know, this was first brought to light with this fool who killed Trayvon Martin for 7 years back. And so this young man, Marquise McLaughlin, was confronted by a white man who had a CCW concealed carry permit. So he was confronted by this white man and over a parking space. Now, we don't know whether the parking space... Now, I think what happened was they were in a handicapped spot. They were in a handicapped spot, and the gentleman complained about them being in a handicapped spot. Now, I don't think that he... You know, had an issue. He had an issue with them being parked in that parking space. But in any case, what happened eventually was that Marquise McLaughlin pushed the man down to the ground. And once he pushed the man down to the ground, the man pulled out his weapon and waited about 10 or 15 seconds before he actually fired the fatal shot. Now, Marquise McLaughlin was shot in the chest. And shout out to Lamont Gates. So Marquise McLaughlin was shot in the chest, and he retreated to the inside of the store where he subsequently died. So here we have another stand your ground issue. And Florida and folks are calling for the amendment of the law because there's no law, basically, with this law. It says that you can stand your ground. You don't have to retreat. If trouble comes up, you can stand your ground. That's basically what the law says. I'll read it to you verbatim in just a couple minutes. But anyway, that's what the law says. The stand your ground law says that you can stand your ground, basically, that you don't have to run. You don't have to retreat. If trouble comes, you can meet that trouble. Now, see, that in New Jersey, we do have laws regarding that, too. But the person has to be... person has to be attacking you, and you're only allowed to use equal force against whatever force is being visited upon you in New Jersey and other states. But actually, there are 38 states out of 50 that carry this stand your ground law. So we have stand your ground. So the young man murdered, basically. And the sheriffs decide right away not to indict this man, not to even charge this man for the murder of this young black man. And see, this is the same thing that happened, well, not the same thing, but this is the same law that's being pulled out of the closet for this situation. And we're going to get into this a little more, but, you know, we're going to talk about the New Jersey's, the Sikh Attorney General, State of New Jersey, who gets somebody is doesn't feel good about him wearing that turban. We'll talk about that. Welcome, Andre Sayegh, to urban mayoral life as the murder is taking place in the city of Patterson just weeks after his inauguration. And we'll also talk about the growing controversy in Connecticut about the transgender girls who are beating the pants off the regular girls, or the born-ass girls, I like to call them. And we're going to ask the question, is it fair for boys who transitioned into girls, if that's even possible, and allow them to compete against girls? Because those boys are boys. They're faster, they're stronger, and everything else. And you're allowing them to compete as girls with girls who were born as girls. So we'll ask the question, do you think that's fair or not? And also, do you turn your back on your race? I posted an article earlier. Do you turn your back on your race if you choose someone outside of your race? So, for example, if you're black and you're dating a white or Asian person, does that mean you've given up on blacks? Does that mean that you are anti-black now because you're dating someone? Or can you be pro-black? In other words, can you be pro-black if you're dating someone who's not black? Can you still be pro-black? So we got a whole lot on the table. This evening is July 26th, I believe it is, 2018. This is the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. It's the ronkellyshow.com, and also on Facebook Live. And you can check out the YouTube channel, the Ron Kelly Show YouTube channel, if you happen to miss a show. Or you can go on to blogtalkradio.com/Ron Kelly Show, and there's about 100 and something shows there. They all have titles, most of them, so you can pick and choose which one you might have missed, what topic that you might have missed me talk about. So I'm rocking like Stevie Wonder. And we'll talk about all of that as well. But yeah, so we have to stand your ground. And there was a lady, and let me just pull her up. Boy, it's hot. You remember the woman who fired warning shots and quoted stand your ground. You see what happened to her. I believe her name was... I'll pick it up. I'll get it in just a minute. So we had this black woman who was her husband was this came up during the time of the first stand your ground case with Trayvon Martin. There was a black woman who fired warning shots at her husband. Fired warning shots. Okay. And she was with the jam. Now, the husband had a history of abusing this woman. And what happened was she wound up going to prison. The Florida woman, they finally released her. Marissa Alexander was her name. Marissa Alexander. And her husband spent 6 years in prison, either locked in a prison or confined to her house, after she was convicted of aggravated assault charges in 2012 for firing a warning shot at her husband. Now, this is the same Florida that this clown who shot Trayvon Martin, and now we have this other man who killed his brother, Marquise McLaughlin. But now you have a black woman who tries to use the law, and she was not able to use it. Now, her husband had abused her. Now, this is a woman who, for 6 years, she was either in jail or under house arrest for firing warning shots at her husband. Warning shots. So she didn't even kill him. And she was defending herself by firing the warning shots. But as a black woman, she wound up in prison. How does that work? So you see, I don't know. Ron, you're always bringing up race and stuff like that. Race is relevant in America. Don't get it twisted. You know, you might know some white folks. I smoke cigars with some of them, and they're cool with me. I'm cool with them, and we all stand around the table and sing Kumbaya. But I believe I know what they're thinking. But for the most part, this country is a racial powder keg right now. And we'll get a little, and we'll talk about the to AG, the Attorney General for the state of New Jersey, who was ridiculed because of his faith, because of the turban that he wears, these knuckleheads from New Jersey 101.5, and Ted decided to come out and call his man Turban Man. We'll talk about that a little bit later on as well. Also, the tragic the Chinese food delivery man killed in Patterson. And we'll talk about the boys and girls. All right. Lamont Cage is getting on my nerves. So we'll take a quick break. And we'll come right back with more of this program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the RonKellyShow.com.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC. We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay? My arm. I think it's broken. Can you bend it? It's already bent. In the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Your bathroom break is over.
Here we go!
Welcome back. Welcome.
Really?
Now I can do what I planned to do this morning.
To the Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Oh, yes, indeed. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Check me out on all the nonsensical social media, Instagram, Facebook. You just Google me and you'll find me. So we're talking about the Trayvon Martin, the George Zimmerman, the fool, the knucklehead, who has had a life of banishment from humanity, which is a good thing. I totally approve that. But Lamont Gates, before we left, Lamont Gates said that I should review, which I really don't have time to do that right now, Mr. Gates, but review the Trayvon Martin case again. It wasn't a stand your ground case. It was deemed self-defense, two different laws. Well, you see, stand your ground was the basis of his self-defense argument. You see, because without this because there's no self-defense if the other person doesn't have a gun and you do. There's no self-defense there. Unless you're black. But there's no self-defense there. If you have a gun and the other person does not have a gun, Lamont Gates, there is no self-defense. So the stand your ground law was the basis for the self-defense, just like the stand your ground law is the basis for this white man who killed this young man, Marquise McLaughlin, young man in his 20s. But you see, now here's the thing. Now people are not gonna like this. I've already been like trolled on some of the social media networks for saying this. But he pushed the man down. Okay, now does that give them even more ammunition because he pushed the man down on the ground? Now, from what I understand, from what I've seen video, and they were talking, either heated or otherwise, and what happened was that Marquise McLaughlin pushed the man down. Once he pushed the man down, that's when the man pulled out his weapon and fired. So folks are going to be saying, well, he pushed him down. Or people who didn't want be looking for an excuse will say, oh, well, he pushed him down, which he did. He pushed him down. Now, is pushing somebody down a you know, you should be killed for pushing somebody down. No, you shouldn't be killed for pushing somebody down. But see, you don't know, you don't see, there's a lot of people walking around. There's a lot of people walking around on the edge, on the fringes. You don't know who's who. Somebody might be, some person you might punch into next to every day at your gig might be, you know, on the there's a lot of Bernhard Goetzes. There's a lot of Bernie Goetzes. You know, Bernhard Goetz, you remember the train shooting from years and years ago. Bernhard Goetz went down into the train station looking for somebody to shoot, and he found somebody. So he found a whole bunch of people, one who's still paralyzed now. And so people are walking around looking for reasons to shoot other people. So you never know who you might bump into. Road rage incidents. I was watching a video where a man got smashed in between his car and Smiles' car. This looked like a rag doll where he was flipping around. So you never know who's on the fringe. That's why I try to stay away from everybody when I go outside. It's like, just stay away from me. But you see, what happened was Marquise McLaughlin pushed the man down. Once he pushed the man down, that gave the man. And see, so what's going to be said now is that he pushed the man down. So the argument was lost. The argument was lost from the beginning, but it was really lost because he pushed the man down. You know. So we have another case of standing down. And as I said earlier, Marissa Alexander, a black woman. And see, the people you're looking at, oh, Ron, you're always talking about race. America is racial. Don't get it twisted. America is racial. Now, this woman, Marissa Alexander, and shot warning shots at her husband. Didn't even hit him. Shot warning shots at her husband. You can look it up. Marissa Alexander. She shot warning shots at her husband. Warning shots. Didn't even shoot him. And she went to jail for that. She got convicted to 25 years. But here you have somebody else, a white person, who does it, and they walk away. So these laws, we can't expect these laws to back us up, because it's just not going to happen. These laws are not really made for us. And we can't expect these laws to back us up. But here we have another case, young man. And this is gonna go away quickly. I'm telling you, this Marquise McLaughlin murder is gonna go away quickly because a man invoked the Stand Your Ground law. But that Stand Your Ground law isn't for everybody. So if you, and I do have listeners and people in Florida, so you know, if you're not white, you better be careful about that Stand Your Ground law. You better be very careful because it might not work for you as well as it works for other people. So it's about 23 minutes past the hour. Everybody, it's the Ron Kelly Show, in case you don't know what you want. Well, you see all that behind me, right? You see all that Ron Kelly stuff all behind me? Yeah, it's nice, right? And if Bernard Williams is watching, it's facing the right way now, Bernard. It's not backwards. So anyway, it's 23 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Ron Kelly Show. All right, so, you know, I was really interested in this. So you have to be careful what you talk about on the radio. Even somebody like me who's not, you know, famous, so to speak. You know, but I have a $1 million liability policy. So if somebody tries to sue me, if somebody tries to sue me for something I said, I'll be protected. You know, that liability policy will kick in and it covers like slander. And so I'm very careful about what I say about people. You know, you go on Facebook and you see all these outlandish, and the more outlandish it is, the more I back up. I'm like, you know what, this can't be true. You know, so whenever I see anything on Facebook, before I talk about any topic, Lamont Gates, I always do research on it to make sure that it's a legitimate story, because you never know who, you know, because you see people on Facebook, and see, you know, I went to school for this radio stuff, and you know, I had a part of our class was broadcast journalism. So I can tell a real story from fake one, you know, right away. First of all, when I look at the story, I look and see who you kind of can tell by who posted it. You don't even have to know the news agency. You can see who posted it. Some of y'all are really out there, way out there. So, But yeah, but you can tell a bad story from a good story. So there's a lot being, you know, being said. But these two radio personalities from New Jersey 101.5, not the biggest station, kind of down South Jersey somewhere. And so they go on the air, and they cannot pronounce the New Jersey Attorney General's name. Neither can I. And so they start calling him Turban Man. Turban Man. Because he wears a turban. He's New Jersey Attorney General. But you better believe that those two people are not the only ones who are up in arms about this. They're not the only ones. There are people in New Jersey, especially in the police department, they got to be flipping their wigs that a Sikh with a turban. Now, even though the man was born here and all, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with him being Attorney General. You know, the last Attorney General who was African-American was 15 years ago. But since then, there's been none. But now, these two people on New Jersey 101.5, and yeah, I'm at the midday show, and they start talking about this man. And they're not the only ones. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people who are besides themselves, because we have a Sikh American. Now, his family was born, his mother and his father were immigrants. He was born here. He was a Bergen County prosecutor, selected by Krispy Kreme donut eater, Chris Christie, and he elevated from that. And when Murphy became governor, he became a New Jersey State Attorney General. I'm sure there's a whole bunch of people in New Jersey who are flipping their lids that a Sikh who wears a turban is now the Attorney General. I'm sure they're flipping their wigs. In Hoboken, which is mostly, I'm sure there's a Sikh American who is the mayor of Hoboken. And I'm pretty sure that the Klan and the you know, the alt-right and these people having a rally in Washington, D.C. pretty soon. I'm sure they are really flipping their wigs over this, because it was one thing to have a black president, but now this, this is way over the top as far as they're concerned. So they're like, they're flipping out, and I'm sure that the Sikhs are now on the racial hit list, so to speak, because of the appointment of, and I can't pronounce his name, the Sikh American who became the Attorney General. So anyway, the two people were pulled off the air. I don't think they should have been, but they were pulled off the air for their comments. And, you know, I don't think they should have been. See, because it's about who reacts to, you know, see, most of the people who are making these decisions probably don't give a damn about who they talked about. It's just a reaction that they react to. So they react to the reaction. It's not about how do you say his name? Gerbil, the Attorney General for the state of New Jersey. It's not really about him. It's about the reaction. And see, and people are reacting before there's a reaction, in other words. And this is what happens, just like with football and all these other things. When somebody does something wrong, here we go. The quarterback for the 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo, and this is not a sports show, Jimmy Garoppolo went out with a porn star. Oh, my God. Oh, you know, you're a franchise quarterback, and oh, you represent the team, and oh, you know. And I kind of agree with it. I don't agree that he had to apologize for it. Was it a mistake? Probably. I don't think he had to apologize for it. But see, today we live in a very reactionary society now where, you know, whatever you do, it's going to be somebody's going to react to what you do. So what these people did at New Jersey 101.5 and some of these other places where they, you know, like with Charlie Rose, with what's his face from NBC and Matt Lauer and all these other people, one by one by one by one by one. Before there's a reaction, they cut their legs off. Before they even, now these people, now we're going, I'm going into something different now, as I'm talking about the Me Too movement, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it's all in the same vein. We react before there's a reaction. And those people were pulled off the air because there was a reaction to what they did. So We haven't. So we don't know when they're going to go back on the air. We have no idea. Anyway, everybody, it's 8:30 my hour. Shout out to Samuel L. Jackson. Shout out to Samuel H. Wilson, one of my brothers from Christ Church in Mount Clair, New Jersey, and Rockaway, New Jersey. If you don't have a church home, check us out. Well, check them out, I should say. I don't say us. He said us. No, I didn't say us. I meant them. Check them out. Christ Church, right here in Mount Clair, New Jersey, and, of course, in Rockaway, New Jersey, the big church. Anyway, everybody, it's the Ron Kelly Show. It's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com. You know, I remember when Obama was president, and they were, you know, and they had a thing, you know, we had a big issue with the bathrooms. We had the big issue with the bathrooms. And it came down to, under President Obama, it came, now this is one thing I really disagreed with President Obama. It came down to whatever you identify yourself as, that's the bathroom you go in. Oh, no. Oh, no. Because any pervert who dresses up like a woman and go into the bathroom and peruse some little girl that's in there. So, and that was one of the things under President Obama, and the bathroom law, which Trump swiftly revoked, and I'm in total agreement with Trump on this one, because they, you know, it was said by the president himself that whatever you identified with, that's the bathroom you went into. So if you're a man today and you say, oh, I identify with women, and you're not transgender or anything, you haven't switched over, you haven't had any operations, you haven't taken any hormone medications or anything like that, you just turn around and say, oh, well, I want to be a woman, you can put on women's clothes and go in the women's bathroom. That's how that law was, which was kind of crazy. And I'm not, you know, and see, and I'm not leading up to this story that I'm getting ready to talk about. See, I'm not against transgender people, or don't even start that I'm against transgender, LGBTQ. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not against anybody. But some of these things that they do, that they've done, I am against. Now, there's a school. There's a story of these two transgender girls. I don't want to call them girls, but two transgender. Two transgender girls who people are having a problem with. Two transgender girls who are number one and number two on the team. Two transgender girls who used to be boys. Well, they're still boys. They just, you know, because on the inside, they who they are, what they are, their DNA, you know. They're boys, but they're transitioning into girls. And so what happened was these two people were allowed to compete on the girls track team for regular girls who, I don't mean to say regular, don't start. Girls who were born as girls. They were allowed, these two transgender girls were allowed to compete on the team with girls who were born as girls, and they shellacked them because they're really still boys. They might look like girls or resemble girls, but they're still boys, and they're faster, they're quicker. You know, they had a story of a girl, a boy who transitioned over to the girl and was allowed to wrestle on a girls' wrestling team. Now, come on. Come on. So should they set up a different, should they have a transgender unit, you know, boys, girls, transgender? Or, you know, is it fair to have girls with the physical power, the physical strength of a boy, the speed of a boy? Is it fair to have those, to have them have transgender people compete with people who were born as? You see, because they have an advantage now. The transgender girls have an advantage because they were once boys. They still have the physicality and the sinew and whatever a boy of that age possesses, they possess. But they're girls. So they obviously they have an advantage because they're stronger than the born-as girls. They're faster than the born-as girls. And the parents of the girls who were born as girls are having a problem with the transgender girls because, again, transgender girls, because the regular girls, well, I don't mean to say regular, but the girls who were born as girls don't stand a chance against the transgender girls because they are boys. They still are boys. Now, they claim to be girls and they dress like girls and they act like girls maybe, but they're still, they have the insides of a boy. They have the strength of a boy. And so the transgender girls are number one and number two on a track team, and they're beating the pants off the trans, off the regular, off the born as girls. So I'll post this up on my Facebook. Do I think it's fair? No. I don't think it's fair. I don't think the transgender girls should be allowed to compete against born as girls. And not because I have anything against transgender people, but these transgender girls are still boys on the inside. They're still boys. They're quicker, they're faster, they're stronger. And of course they're going to beat the pants off of any regular born-as girl. So I agree with the parents that it's not fair. Now, as far as what to do, you have to sit down and talk about it as far as what we should do. But I don't think the transgender girls should be allowed to compete with born as girls, and not because they're transgender, and not because I got a problem with transgender people, because I don't. I know some, you know what I'm saying. I'm friends. I don't want to sound dumb like, oh, some of my best friends are transgender. I'm not saying that, but I do know some people who are. I am friends with some people who are, but so I'm not against it. But as far as competition is concerned, the transgender girls do have a pretty obvious advantage over the regular girls, because the transgender girls are actually boys. So do I agree that it's unfair? Yes, I do think it's unfair that regular, the transgender girls should be allowed to compete like regular girls. All right, we'll take a quick break. Come right back with more of this program. It's Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com and ronkellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many cheeks? Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many cheeks in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Man, so I made some more enemies. We are back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com. Shout out to Albert Vega, who says they're stronger. So I didn't even see this. Shout out to Mike Mazak. Shout out to Kalila, my sister, Kalila Amina Sadiq, my sister in the struggle. I love you, my sister. Thank you for your point. Thank you for your support, I should say. And Lamont Gates posted, and anybody wants to click on that, I'm not going to do it. I don't have time to do that right now. But Lamont Gates did post a Lamont Gates did post an article from the New York Times. I obviously don't have time to read it right now. But anybody wants to click on that, they should. Lamont Gates says, I agree with your point that Stand Your Ground should be thoroughly restructured. However, in this particular case, we cannot judge the perception of the man who was shoved. Psychology teaches in the face of panic, fight, flight, or freeze, then takes precedent. Well, you know, that was very well said, Lamont. But just, you know, in the heat of the moment, again, there are people out here who are waiting for things to happen. They're waiting for stuff to happen. So right after that, Kalila, shout out to you, my sister. Love you much. Mike Mazak, from my dude from way, way back. Tuffy. And those of you who agree with me that I do think that the women, that the girls should not be, the transgender girls should not be able to compete with the born as girls. I don't want to say regular because it sounds like the transgender girls are irregular. And, you know, people are watching and listening to this show, and I do get emails sometimes. People are like, what the hell is wrong with you? So the email's not always the friendliest. But, yeah, there are people the families of these girls, the born-ass girls, are having a problem with this. And thank you to everybody, Albert Vega, Sharon Abrams, shout out to Sharon Abrams, Samuel H. Wilson, everybody who, Tuffy Ali and Bunny. I'll read it when I have time, Lamont, absolutely. But I do believe to stand your ground, just to segue back to that for a second, to stand your ground was the big issue with the George Zimmerman case. It wasn't about self-defense, it was stand your ground. That's all you heard was stand your ground. Maybe behind the scenes, maybe those like Lamont Gates who delved into it a little bit more than the rest of us. But it was mostly about stand your ground. It wasn't, stand your ground was the basis of the self-defense case. Okay, Bunny McKnight says, if the born-ass girls took steroids, would that be fair to combat that nonsense? No, because we're talking about girls competing against girls, girls who are born as girls, girls who are physiologically, girls who have the DNA and are able to have kids, et cetera, have the insides of a girl against boys. This is basically what it is. It's boys dressed up as girls, and not to disrespect the transgender folks, it's boys dressed up as girls competing against girls. It would be like having a man, a transgender man, be allowed to play tennis, which Serena would probably beat him anyway. But it would be like a transgender man being allowed to play in the WNBA, for example. He'd be slamming and jamming and spinning and all kinds of stuff because he's a man and he's stronger than the women who are in it. Well, most of them anyway, from the stories I've heard. But it'd be like a man being allowed to play in the WNBA. He'd have an obvious advantage, strength, power, leaping ability, ball agility, the whole nine. So no, Bunny McKnight. It's the point is that the girls... I know you really meant girls. Samuel H. Wilson says that biological would be good terminology. Yeah, you're right. You're 100% right. I should have thought of that myself. Biological girls, girls who were born as girls versus girls who, you meant real girls. Oh, wow, that's even worse. Bunny McKnight says he meant real girls. Wow, gee, thanks. And that's because Lamont Gates says that's because the media mislabels it. That's just, it's possible, you know, but I agree, and thank you to all the folks who are watching, listening, 25 comments or so on the Ron Kelly Show feed that the girls have an unfair advantage. All right, everybody, it's 15 minutes before the hour, and you're listening to the Ron Kelly Show, listening, watching. Shout out to my national folks who are listening to the Ron Kelly Show all across America, and I checked out the ratings. The ratings have gone up. So it is like a roller coaster. They're up, they're down, they're this, they're that. You know, nobody's listening, watching. Everybody's watching. Nobody's listening. Everybody's listening. But I got to talk to Lamont Gates about how to upload this. How to upload this. This video. I got to talk to somebody about how to upload this video. On another level. Anyway, maybe I'll talk to Bernard Williams about that. Anyway, everybody, it's we have Andre Sayegh just elected, was just inaugurated as mayor of the great city of Paterson, New Jersey, and bam, a tragic story. A Chinese man delivering food on 34th Street, which is supposed to be a really, really pretty good area of Patterson, 34th Street, is killed, shot in the face in a botched robbery. This is just days or weeks after Andre Sayegh is associate of mine. I would call him a friend, but I don't know him that well. But I did take a picture with him. I take a picture with a lot of people. Andre Sayegh is the mayor, the newly elected mayor of the city of Patterson, just installed recently, just had the inaugural ball a couple days ago, I believe it was, and which I wasn't invited to, by the way, but I didn't really have $1,000 to pay. Anyway, so this man, I don't want to make light of the death of this 29-year-old man who owns a restaurant, a Chinese restaurant on Reland Ave. I believe that's the one, Reland Ave, near the corner of Reland Ave and Broadway, just before you leave the great city of Patterson, New Jersey, which I still call it. Yes, and this man was killed, 29 years old, killed. A botched robbery, I believe it was, shot in the face and killed. Drove for a few blocks or two and hit a couple cars. Just a tragic story. So, you know, so Governor Murphy, you know, most of the law enforcement folks who think we shouldn't carry guns, who are making it harder for folks to carry guns. Yeah, sure. You know, yeah, criminals. Come on to New Jersey. Yeah, come on. Come on. Come on, criminals. There's so many of us. There's so many people here you can rob, so many people here you can carjack, who you can stick up while they're waiting for the bus, whatever. So come on. See, because Governor Murphy and the folks and some of the folks in law enforcement are allowing, and I'm not saying that it's their fault that this man was killed. I'm not saying that at all, so don't get it twisted. But in those states where they have open carry, the crime is not near as bad as it is in states like New Jersey, where it's nearly impossible. You might as well be living in China to get a gun in New Jersey. So all the law-abiding citizens have to abide by all of these laws to get arrested, while the criminals run around killing people, destroying people's lives, stealing their cars, and doing God only knows what else to them, because the populace, the folks who make New Jersey run, the folks who go to work every day and abide by the law, are prohibited from carrying a gun to protect themselves because this idiot Governor Murphy in the state legislature in the state of New Jersey does not allow people to carry weapons. I've had a gun for 12 years. I never shot anybody. I never got caught carrying it illegally. I don't have any infractions on my jacket whatsoever. I never pulled it on nobody. I never shot anybody, discharged it, carried it, or done anything else with it illegally. But the good folks in the state of New Jersey, the people who work every day, the folks who make this state tick, are the ones who are being victimized by these gun laws. And so we're just sitting out there like sitting ducks. So for any criminal to come by and just take our car, something we work for, we pay payments for every month, and some creep can just come by and take it. Why? Because they all know that New Jersey has some of the strictest gun laws in the country. And they know that the likelihood of anybody in New Jersey carrying a gun, unless they're a police officer, are slim and none. They know this. So New Jersey is ripe for the picking. There's so many peaches you can pluck off the tree, so many people you can rob because they're not allowed to carry weapons. See, in those states where they have open carry, I bet you better believe that the crooks are not as brazen as they are in New Jersey. Because just the fact that folks are allowed to carry guns in some of these states, Pennsylvania, for 37 or so states where you're allowed to carry weapons, those criminals, they think twice before they would approach people. You never know if they're carrying a gun. But in New Jersey, you know, they're not carrying a gun. You know this. Because the law enforcement community and the governor and the legislative body all think that, oh, we're doing something with all these stringent gun laws. But newsflash, criminals don't obey laws, period, guns or otherwise. So they need to take their heads out of the sand maybe some of these things can be prevented. So the man is chilled. So welcome to urban mayor life, Mr. Andre Sayegh. And I don't say that. To be facetious. But this is what, you know, now that the pomp and circumstance is over, now we get to the real nitty gritty of what Patterson is really about. And this young man was chilled, delivering food, chilled, by some heathen. Now, has it been confirmed that the person was African American? That I don't know. The wife says the person was African American. Could be. But other people have blamed African Americans for crimes too, and it turned out that they weren't African American at all. But the woman, the wife, who sat in horror and watched her husband die at the hands of some creep, and we don't know whether the person is African American or not. But how many of y'all out there really think that it was a white person? Not many of you, I'm telling you. I really don't think so. Not many of you think it was a white person. And you hear people, you know, we hear our people, and I've heard our people. I watched the Vice show with Michael B. Williams, I believe his name is. He was talking to the carjackers in Newark. And they're talking about, I got to feed my family. You know, you got to feed your effing family off of my car? You know, you have to take what's mine to give it to your family? So you got to force me out of my vehicle and put it on a container ship that's going to Africa some damn where? So you got to feed your family off of me? I got nothing to do with that. That's your problem. But you saw them on that show, the Vice show in Newark, carjackers. Their faces were covered and all. You know, we saw them there, and they talked about how there's no jobs, and I got to feed. No, there's no jobs to pay $10,000 a week. No. We want that microwave instant success. Doesn't happen like that. You got to find a regular job like everybody else. Do the best you can. So we have our own people, black men, who victimize other black people. You see, because black folks are you know, we you know, and we're easy to be pitted against each other. It's very easy to pit one black person against another. Easy. And so we have these men who are sitting on television and saying, yeah, well, you know, if I got to kill somebody, I'll kill them. I mean, really? Really? Wow. It's interesting. So, I almost forgot. I tell you, I had a lot here today. So, I posted an article earlier about interracial relationships. And the question was, do you turn your back on your race if you choose someone else? So, for example, if you're a black man, you choose a white woman to be your wife or your girlfriend. Does that mean that you've turned your back? Can you still be pro-black after you've chosen an Asian woman to be your wife, to have your children? Can you still be pro-black or can a woman be pro-black if she's chosen a white man? Or an Asian? Can you still be pro-black if you chose outside of your race? Well, see, but first of all, just because you've chosen somebody out of your race doesn't mean that you transition over to their race. It doesn't mean that. So if you choose, I'm not married. If I choose a white woman, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to be pro-black. I'm always going to be pro-black. If I'm dating an Asian woman, I'm still going to be pro-black. See, the premise is that, you know, when you choose, I guess you're not being tribal when you choose someone outside of your race. You're not being tribal. So I guess some people look at that as that you've just given up on your race. You've given up. And you're not going to date any, you know. So if you choose a white woman, that's your choice of the race of the person that you're involved with is supposed to dictate your allegiance. So if you pick a white person, you pledge allegiance to white folks. You're no longer black. So if you pick an Asian person, you pledge your allegiance to Asians. You're giving up your blackness. In other words, you're not black anymore. You're Asian. It's foolish. It's foolish to think that it's foolish for anyone to think that the choice of the ethnicity of the person that you are dating, it's silly to think that you've given up on your race. Like if a white woman chooses a black man, that means that she's given up on white men. See, that's the common thought when, you know, you walk down the street and you see a black woman with a white man. You know, a lot of us get indignant, especially if she's real fine. You don't deserve that. That booty should be over here. So, with a white woman, the black woman, white woman with a black man, and sisters get all bent out of shape when they see a white woman with a black man. Oh, she stole him. She didn't steal him. But see, but this is the misnomer that takes place when, you know, and this is the what happens when we, you know, when we try to put race into the game. See, because the person that you're dating, I've always dated black women. I've never dated a white woman before. You know, I'm thinking about it. but it doesn't mean that I'm not going to be pro-black just because I'm dating outside my race. So if a person dates outside their race, it doesn't necessarily mean that they've abandoned ship, that they've given up their membership to the black race or white race. If an Asian woman dates a black man, does that mean that she has given up her Asian card? Of course not. But this is a misconception that, you know, that's out there. We think that people have just given up. I've just given up on black women, which I've thought about. And I'm sure that some black men have thought about giving up on black women. But it doesn't mean, whatever the case may be, it doesn't mean that you can't be pro-black. You know, like, oh, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to sell, since I'm married to a white woman, I'm not going to, you know, talk about Dr. Martin Luther King anymore. You know, I'm going to give up my black card. This is not a show on on BET. So, no, it doesn't mean anything. But this is what, you know, I guess it was just a question that was put out there, and this is what happened. So, everybody, thank you so much for joining me tonight. There's about a minute left of the show. Shout out to DJ Tiny, who did his thing last night. I checked you out, DJ Tiny. You're the man on dwildmusicradio.com, dwildmusicradio.com. It's a DJ Tiny experience, 8 to 10 p.m. Wednesday night. dwildmusicradio.com. I checked him out last night. Great job, brother. I'm loving what you're doing, and you can get in touch with DJ Tiny. You want him to do your party, if he's available, he's there for you. dwildmusicradio.com is DJ Tiny, Wednesday night, 8 to 10. All right, everybody, I'm going to break out of here. And go, that's about 40 seconds left of the program. I want to thank everybody for joining me, those of y'all who indulge my nonsense every Thursday night. Lamont Gates, Bunny McKnight, Albert Vega, Samuel H. Wilson, Sharon Abrams, Michael Mazak, Kalila Amina Sadiq, and all Ruby Clark. Everybody who checked in tonight, check me out next week for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show. So until then, everybody, definitely take care of yourself and be nice to somebody else, please. Thank you.